Amen. Thank you, fellas. That was a blessing. Next time you guys are all together, my request is that you make that a quartet and get your father singing with you.
Amen.
I've heard Ed Engel sing, and he needs to be singing with his boys. I think that'd be a beautiful quartet. And so make that happen, Caleb.
Yes, sir.
He's the only one I can tell what to do, so. Yeah, just Lydia and I, we tell Caleb what to do, don't we? Brother Kelvin came up with the offering plate trying to get more money. And anyway, no, he wasn't really doing that. But he did announce all of our home games from now on are going to be at Springbrook's new gym. They actually built a gym just for us. And so anyway, all of our home games no longer at Drager. Everything will be at Springbrook from now on this year, correct?
This year, yes.
All right, so their new gym. We go in the same place, don't we, and then just go a different kind of different direction?
No, we've been playing in the new gym.
Oh, that is the new gym. All right, so very good. I didn't know. I can't tell. All right, very good. And that senior saint sing that Meet Me There, you lead that song every week?
Not every week, no.
But you've led that song? Who hits the high notes? What do you do when you get to those high notes?
Bill Alford hits high notes.
Bill, okay. All right. Very good. I just was curious. And appreciated Ben's offertory. Well, that was good, wasn't it? It was a blessing. Of course, Ben had to get a page turner. Somebody had turned the pages for him. And Daniel could have done it. But I like, you know, one of the proofs that Ben's listening in college, he got a pretty girl to turn pages. I thought that was good. Why are you turning red, Ben? No, I don't expect you to say anything, Ben. Daniel 11 and verse 30. Daniel 11, 30. Daniel 11. First time I taught through the book of Daniel, I got to Daniel 11. Well, actually, I was studying ahead, obviously, and I came to Daniel 11. I said, what in the world am I going to do with this? I mean, it is really one of the most accurate prophecies in all the Scripture. But if you're not willing to study history, you won't understand that. You'll look at it and say, "How does this apply to anything?" And of course, I was forced then to study that out and to see the prophecy that is in Daniel 11. And boy, what a blessing it is! I mean, it is detail. Prophecy of later events that would take place, and which now we look back on as history. I'm talking about accurate, unbelievable, the detail, the timeline and everything, just perfect accuracy in Daniel 11. And I want to just talk about a piece of that prophecy and give you the message then. Daniel 11, verse 30, it says, "For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved, and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant." Now this is just part of the prophecy. It is already fulfilled. This did take place, and took place accurately, as was written by the prophet Daniel years before it took place. "An arm shall stand on his part, they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." I mentioned to you that a man named Antiochus Epiphanes was the man. He was very anti-Christ-like. He was anti-God-like. He was very much against the Jews. And this prophecy is fulfilled in this man's life. He is a type of the Antichrist that I talked about this morning. This man's life, the things that he did, the way that he did them is very much like what the Antichrist will do when he comes on the scene here in this world. And verse 32, though, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days." And again, this is something that actually did happen to God's people. "Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And then the verse that I read this morning, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. I call your attention to verse 35, and it says, even to the time of the end. And I want to talk to you about that little phrase, the time of the end, because this prophecy again, you have to understand, this was a prophecy that was prophesied. It took place, many of these things took place, but all of a sudden then God interweaves into that some things that are yet to take place. And the similarities, they tie together so well, and then they go into the Antichrist and some things about our day, or what could be our day, the future. And so the thing I call your attention to, though, is this idea that it's the time of the end. And he said, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. The time of the end. And if that was the time of the end, if that's a prophecy of the time of the end, then I believe that these things in these verses, many of them, the similarities will take place in the time of the end. I believe that they are taking place even now, and I believe they are for us even now. And I'll explain that in a minute. Several of the things that the people did here, several of the things that God's people did here in this time of tribulation, a difficult time, a time when the Antichrist was rising up, or one like the Antichrist was rising up and showing his power. And I believe that there are some similarities, some things we can learn from this time, because I believe that we're near the time of the end. And I believe that God has some things to show us that will help us. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for all the good music, just the good spirit. And Lord, that your people could come together. Please speak to our hearts, encourage us. We know, Lord, that there is a spirit of Antichrist in our world today. We know there is a mystery of iniquity that has been working for many, many years. And we know, Lord, that your coming is the next thing. Your coming to take us is the next thing. As far as the timeline, we look forward to that. But God, before that happens, I pray that you'll show us what we should be doing and how we should be living, because I believe it's near the time of the end. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a recap here. Daniel 11 is an amazing prophecy of later events from the time it was written. The time span, if you want to write this down, goes from Daniel's day, which is around 536 B.C., through Antiochus Epiphanes, which is 164 B.C. And that takes us through verse 35. At verse 36 and the verses after that, it would appear that that's not talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, because history doesn't necessarily back that up, but yet it's now jumping forward into the tribulation, which is yet to come. In verses 2 through 35, literally there are 135 prophetic statements which are already fulfilled exactly in the order they were given in the book of Daniel. Are you listening to me? 135 prophetic statements that God gave to Daniel. God said, this is what's going to happen. And it was written down, and 135 statements to the most accurate detail, fulfilled in order, perfect accuracy. In fact, it's so accurate, the only thing the liberals can say about it is, well, obviously, this was written by somebody after the fact. But the truth is, it was written before the fact by a man who God revealed to him that these things are going to happen. And that is why the book of Daniel is such a wonderful book and so powerful. And so, God, remember this, God doesn't predict. God makes things happen. And God made these things. Everything went into motion just like God said. And everything is going into motion today just like God said. Everything is happening just like God said. I almost preached at the end of verse 36, for that that is determined shall be done. I I've been thinking a lot about that little phrase, and I may, just because, hey, listen to me, God determines what's going to happen. And it is going to happen just like God said. And the proof of it is verses 2 through 35, years before it took place, God said, here's what will happen. Here's the detail. I'm talking about people, what they did, how they did it, the time that they did it, exactly the way that God said it would be. That's how it was. And you can look back and read it. Daniel 11 used to scare me to death. Now I read it and it thrills my soul. And I would encourage you to do a good study of it, and it'll bless your soul as well. So what happened in verses 2 through 35 will happen, I believe, some of those kinds of things. The spirit of all of that will also happen prior to the rapture of God's people before the great tribulation. I believe that the things that happened here and the spirit of the people, I believe that same spirit will be alive prior to the rapture, because it says, even to the time of the end. And I believe that same, some of these things, if you want to study Judas Maccabeus and the great battles that they fought and the victories that they won, I think you can see the kind of spirit that God wants us to have. I think you can see the kind of spirit that God is anticipating His people to have prior to His rapture and His subsequent second coming. When God removes the Christians before the tribulation, just before that takes place, again, we call that the rapture. Verses 32 to 35, I think, describes God's people and the spirit of God's people, because it's how God's people were then. It's how God's people were. And I'm not saying we go through any of the tribulation, because we don't. We're going to be gone. But that doesn't mean we won't go through tribulation. I believe we're starting to see some of the tribulation. I think we're starting to see some terrible things in the future that we are going to face. And certainly, if not myself, several of these young people, I just, it's inevitable that some of these things are going to take place. And I believe that verse 35, it's referring to even to the time of the end. I believe that no matter what the people, as far as the time and all the different historical events, there's a certain spirit we need to maintain. There's a certain thing that we need to maintain. And I think we can find it here in this little passage, verses 32 to 35. And the first thing I see is found in verse 32. It says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God." The people that do know their God. And I believe this time of the end, number one, it's a time to know that you're saved. Listen to me, folks. It's a time to get it nailed down. It's a time to know that you're saved. You're not going to take a stand for God Almighty unless you know for sure that you're saved. You're not going to make it in tribulation. You're not going to make it in persecution. You're not going to make it in the worst trials unless you do know, the Bible says, they do know their God. I'm not talking about just knowing. I'm talking, you do know your God. A lot of people say, "Well, I know God. Yeah, sure, I know God. I've gone to church and I've done." No, listen. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I'm not talking about, do you know His name? I'm not talking about you can name all of His names. I'm talking about, do you know Him? Better yet, does He know you? It's a time to know you're saved. I believe that the year 2010. I'm not making predictions. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine going much longer without Jesus coming. Now, it may be another 1,000 years. I don't know, but it just seems like it. Just as you look and as you watch and you read your Bible, it just seems like His coming could be any time. It's a time of the end. It's a time to know that you're saved. I mean, to know it. Maybe the number one problem among Christians is they go from being lost to saved in like that. You know, all it takes is a bad thought comes into your mind and now you're lost. A bad action comes into your life and now you're lost. Then you got to get saved again. Then you get lost again. Then you got to get saved again. You don't understand that the devil, if he has you on that roller coaster, you'll never do anything for God. You can't do anything for God. Nail it down. Get it settled. Either you're saved, either you're lost. Get it settled tonight. Make sure, hey, I am saved. Hey, I know I'm saved today. I did exactly what God said to do, and I know I'm saved. Somebody says, if you died, would you go to heaven? I know I'd go to heaven. Who do you think you are? It's not who I am, it's who He is, and I did what He told me to do, and I'm saved. Amen. It's a time to know that you're saved, not to wonder if you're saved, not to guess that you're saved, not to try to work your way to being saved. I'd hate to think that anyone here wouldn't know that they're saved. Because if you don't know that you're saved, then get saved. Amen. Make sure. Do know. Look, a time to not be shallow. Do know. There's no room for shallow Christianity. There's no room for this wimpy, sissy kind of Christianity. It's a time where, hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know I am. Instead of wilting under the pressure of somebody maybe even talking about, well, you think you know you're going to heaven. Hey, I do know I'm going to heaven. You know, instead of, well, you know, I think as long as you're sincere, sincerity never saved anybody. You got to know Him. He's got to know you. Do know. They do know their God. Amen. And that, again, in a tough time, it's no time to be shallow. It's not a time to say, I hope so. It's not a time to say, I think so. It's a time to say, I do know. I do know that I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Well, I got baptized. That doesn't save anybody. You can get baptized till you shrink up like a prune. That ain't going to save you. How do you know you're saved? Well, I'm a Baptist. That didn't save anybody either. Amen. Amen. You know, well, I'm religious. That doesn't save either. Well, I'm going to do the Lord's Supper. That won't save either. You can eat all the Lord's Supper that you possibly could find anywhere. You could eat Lord's Supper bread till you get fat as a pig, and that ain't going to save you. It ain't going to save you. Huh? You need to get saved. You need to call upon Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and save you. And then you're saved. Okay? Not because the preacher said so. Not because the deacon said so. Not because Sunday school teacher said so. Not because mama said so. Not because daddy said so. Not because it's written in the front of your Bible. Because you did it. That's why. Amen. And because God said so. Amen. Do know. It's a time to know you're saved. I keep spitting all over myself. 2000, it's all right. That's what preaching is. You got to spit a little bit. If you don't spit, you're not right with God. Amen. That's what the guys down south do. They say, bless God. No, they do, actually. But, you know, times get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It's time to know. Amen. Amen. It's amazing. Isn't it somehow the devil has done this? Because you would think, because times are getting worse and worse, you'd think God's people would be tougher and tougher, and they're wimpier and wimpier. You'd think God's people, well, this would toughen us up a little bit. We'll stand and we'll say, bless God, I know I'm going to heaven. But instead we say, well, you know, I think there's a lot of different beliefs. And we're wimping out. Huh? I guarantee one thing, you better not. Do know. That keeps me going. Amen. That'll keep you going too. And that's why you stumble around, because you just kind of wonder about it. Well, today, you know, I did think a bad thought. I bet you did. I bet you thought, I don't bet. See, you'd say, well, if I said bet, I'd be going to hell. You're not, listen to me, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Okay, the very fact that you're convicted is proof. Huh? Lost people don't care. They can say blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. And it doesn't matter. Some of you just filled in the blanks. You need to get right with God. See, you just said, yeah, I just filled in the blanks. Now I'm going to hell, right? No, no, no. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying, listen to me. If you call upon Jesus, you do what He said to do. You ask Him to save you. Is He a liar? Of course not. He cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. You say, yeah, but I don't know if I'm telling the truth. So many of you are struggling with this thing. Get it settled for sure. Do know your God. Because that's what the people did here. It's a time to know that you're saved. Doubting your salvation can only bring defeat. It also can only be a slap in the face of our God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, preacher, how do you really know that you're saved? I believe God with all my... I believe Him. I believe him. I believe that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I believe he is able to keep me from falling. Okay, well, you say, well, you fall, don't you? Yeah, but I know he's going to keep me from falling all the way. I'm his child. He's my father. I'm his son. And when I get out of line, he jack slaps me. He doesn't call time out. Amen, brother. He jack slaps me. Boy, there's folks need a good jack slapping every now and then. Amen. Time to know. By the way, that jack slapping he gives, let me tell you something. That's how I know I'm saved. Because my daddy does it. Amen. My father spanks me. Amen. By the way, next time you get out from the woodshed with God, won't you thank him for being your father and for taking care of you like a dad's supposed to do? Boy, this is good. Most of this isn't in the notes. Now it's 2010, and I think more than any other time, it's time to know that you're saved so that you can stand against him. Time to know it. Let me tell you something. Go back and read the history of these people in this time that Daniel is talking about here. And go back and read the stand that they took. And they knew who their God was. That's what the Bible says here. They do know their God. Let me tell you, they don't do anything if they don't know their God. I venture to say the reason so much of Christianity is being weenies today is because they don't know him. They really just don't know him. Hello? Number one, it's a time to know you're saved. Number two, it's a time to serve. Time to serve. I've heard all kinds of preaching about what's going to happen before the rapture, and I've heard some people get up and say, well, I think there will be nothing going on. There won't be any revival, nothing. Of course, the Bible, I preached about it this morning. The Bible says there's going to be a falling away. But you know what? I'm telling you this. There's a remnant that's still going to be doing something for God. There always has been a remnant. Well, we're not very big anymore. You know, there was a time when the largest churches in America were independent fundamental Baptist churches. There really was. I mean, that was the way it was. That's not so anymore. Really. Mostly you see Burger King churches. You know, have it your way. Yeah. That's what you see. There are five of them here in Adrian, in our little town. They ought to all get together and have an ecumenical movement. Amen. They should. You know, why? What? They're all doing the same thing. It's just whatever you want, folks. Do it. Just do your thing. Just, hey, you know, whatever feels good, just do it. Now, you know, and I know there's good people there. I know there's Christian people there. I'm not mad. I'm just saying this. I'm saying, listen, folks, this is a time not to be wimps, not to be weenies, but to understand there's still a God in heaven and God is still working. God will still save lost people. God will still heal marriages. God will still heal people. God will still heal relationships. God will deliver those that are captive to sin. God will still take the drunk and clean him up. God will still take the prisoner, get him out of prison, and clean him up. God is still God. God is still working. He hadn't taken a nap. He hadn't gone to bed. He hadn't gone to sleep. He's still God. He'll still work. We're the ones that are asleep. It's a time to serve. What's the Bible say here? The Bible says the people that do know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploits. That's not sitting around doing nothing. That's waiting on God to do great things. That's saying, here I am, God, use me. I want to see something great happen. Don't you dare get the idea, well, Jesus is coming, let's sell all our things and sell all our possessions and get all our cattle and go up on the highest hill we can find and just, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hogwash, let's get busy. Let's get the buses out there. Let's go knocking on doors. Let's go soul winning. Let's get everybody we can. Let's tell all that we can. Some of you guys working in factories, you should have really got convicted about that this morning. I got convicted about it. Just thinking about that place you work right now, you are the witness. You are and you have the Holy Spirit of God in that factory. And when the rapture takes place, there will be no Holy Spirit to deal with those people in your factory. Wow. Now's the time to serve, amen? Do exploits. You know, in the darkest time, God's people will do great works. What are you going to be doing? Huh? In the darkest time in history, God's people did great things. By the way, the darker the dark, the lighter the light. Amen. We're going to see some dark times, folks, honestly. I will not be shocked within a year, 2 years, there will be laws that some of the things I just now said, there will be somebody come and they'll take me away. I would not be shocked of that. You say, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to become a Lutheran, of course. Are you crazy? Just kidding. I'm not really, Kayla. She was worried. She was getting ready to transfer her membership. It's a time to serve. They shall be strong and do exploits. I don't want to miss out. Do you? Huh? So many have quit, given up. They've gotten tired. I think some of the greatest opportunities we've ever seen are available now. I really believe that. I think we are going to see some of the greatest soul-winning stories we've ever seen. Oh, preacher, you don't... Well, I'll get to that in a minute. It's a time to know you're saved. It's a time to serve. Number three, it's a time to stand. Notice something that was so clear in this time and in history, if you study it. Verse 32, it says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries." They got corrupted by flattery. They got corrupted by money. They got corrupted by big swelling words. They got literally bought. I've preached in pulpits before that have, and I like what we have in ours, we would see Jesus. But I also like when somebody will have in a corner somewhere, not for sale. Amen? Not for sale. It's not for sale. Say what you want. Flatter all you want. Offer all that you want. Not for sale. Amen? It's not for sale. You can come, you can say, preacher, I don't like the way the parking is in the parking lot. We'll sit down, we'll talk about it. You can say, you know, I'm not as excited about the music as maybe you are, and we'll sit down and talk about it. You say, well, you know, your message the other day, whoa, hold it. That's not even up for discussion. Nothing in the message is up for discussion. You don't talk about the message. You don't say anything about the preaching. The pulpit, this, it's not for sale. Well, preacher, I'll give you an offering. I'll take the offering, but it's not for sale. Huh? We need $76,000 for our budget. You say, preacher, I'll give you the $76,000 if you just trim a little bit. I'll tell you what, I'll trim here. Give me the $76,000, but I'm not trimming from the book. I'm not trimming the message. It is not going to happen. It's time to stand. And that all sounds easy. But I'll be honest with you, I've read things. And it used to be other countries. It used to be other places. Brother Shawver, it puts chills down my spine when I start to see the laws that are coming to America. And I think when they haul the preacher off to jail, then who's going to get up and preach the next message? Who's going to do that? Huh? Well, I would, but I'm not feeling real well. Flatteries. Go back to 2 Thessalonians from this morning, 2 Thessalonians 2. I read all that, and it was kind of seemed a little bleak to me. I don't know. You start talking about the Antichrist. He's so evil and so wicked and so vile and so nasty. When he comes on the scene, it's going to be terrible. We can't even imagine what this world is going to be like. Listen, we can't even imagine what America is going to be like, if there is an America. As I've said, I personally believe when the rapture takes place, America will be destroyed. I believe that. Doesn't mean every human will die in America, but most of America and its power will be pretty much nothing. Because America, of all countries, will be the most affected by a rapture because we have so many Christians in high positions. And let me tell you, the devil knows that. I believe there are bombs, there's missiles, there's nuclear weaponry aimed at our country even now. And somebody over on this side is going to have to push a button and give the commands to push the buttons and be there to push the buttons. And I believe a lot of Christians are in those positions and they just won't be there. It's a scary thing. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Here's what he says, though. Again, at this thought of an antichrist, he says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold their traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Stand fast. Just keep going. You say, "Preacher, it's starting to look bad." Oh, it really is. It's time to stand. You need to stand at work. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be an idiot. Be loving. But take your stand. Take your stand for Christ. Well, you know, we don't use the word Christian. Use the word Christian. Use the word Christ. Talk much about Jesus. It's time to stand. I'm so tired of liberals telling us what we can and can't say. What we can and can't do. Aren't you tired of it? Well, then listen, do it. Do you understand? So many of the things we're told we can't do, who says? Do you understand? They say you can't spank your children, but you can. There's no law that says you can't spank your children. Kids are upset right now. Preacher, don't tell them that. I've been loving my timeouts. If my dad, bless his heart, if he would have done timeouts instead of that paddle that he used, I'd hate to think what prison I would be in today. I would have had my own conspiracy going on to get timeouts. I would, within the timeout, have had my own business going. But Dad's timeouts, there wasn't any opportunity for any other business other than screaming. That's a good timeout. This time before the rapture, this time that God's people has gone through before, it was a time to stand. Number four, it was a time to be a soul winner. It says in verse 33, "They that understand among the people shall instruct many." Who is going to tell them? Who's going to tell him? Huh? I mean, it's going to have to be somebody who does know. It can't be some shallow person who says, "Well, you know, as long as you're sincere, as long as it feels good." It's going to have to be somebody that can tell him. It's going to have to be somebody that can tell him, "You're a sinner." It's going to have to be somebody that'll show them this book. It's going to have to be somebody who uses this book. Not just any book. You can't just use any book. It's got to be God's Word. So there's not a whole lot of people using this book anymore. The old King James Bible. So who is going to do it? Okay. "They that understand among the people shall instruct many." Who's going to do it? It's a time it can happen. It says they shall instruct many. Boy, it seems tough, doesn't it? It really does. People are cautious. People are hardened. We've had so much corruption with all the TV preaching and some of that junk that's gone on. Hello, don't get nervous. I won't pick on your favorite little person. Huh? Any man that would listen to Joyce, whatever her name is, you have a backbone that is filled with Oreo cookie cream. Okay, I'm serious about it. I can't even imagine. You know, I do not even, go ahead, get mad, just get over it. I can't even imagine it. I can't understand it. It is exactly what the devil wants to weaken our Christianity. I cannot even believe there's ever a guy that would ever sit in a service where a woman is the preacher. And the world just watches and they laugh at us. And the Christian groups that the world sees, because they're big, because they're on billboard. Here's how they look.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have to have hair down all over the place, or pointing out, or spiked down the middle, or makeup on as a guy, and an earring with a chain dangling across over to the other ear, or some weird kind of thing, or a tattoo of Jesus across my face, and look like this. Or like this. Jesus, yeah, man. Oh, that's... And the world looks at that and they say, they got to be kidding us, right? And then here we come. We knock on the door. Hey, I'm from Berean Baptist Church. I don't want to hear it from another religion. Last religion, they asked me for all my money. It's tough. But the Bible says it's a time when we can instruct many. So don't quit. Amen. And there's so many scandals, so many things going on. But people are hungry. People are hurting. How many were saved in prison today, Larry?
17.
You say, well, of course they're hurting. Well, if everybody has to go to prison to get saved, then amen. People are hurting. People are hungry. People are searching for the truth. It is tough. But God says here, in the darkest hour, they shall instruct many. Who's going to be the ones doing it? It's got to be us. Turn that thing off. Good.
Amen.
Somebody's got to do it. Praise God for the bus ministry. Praise God for giving out tracts. Praise God for soul winning. It's a time to be a soul winner. A time to know you're saved. A time to serve. A time to stand. A time to be a soul winner. The last thing, it's a time of suffering. God's people have always suffered, folks. They've always gone through tough times. It says in verse 35, or verse 34, well, let's start at verse 33. Well, let's just read it all. No, it says in verse 33, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity, by spoil many days. But look what it says. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. Isn't that something? God never lets us fall too far. He's always there to help. Verse 35, some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge, to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed, time of suffering. Job suffered, and he said, I shall come forth as gold. Sometimes that's why we suffer, just to see that we come forth as gold. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. Years ago, called David Gibbs, and of course, Brother Gibbs is a friend of mine with Christian Law Association. I called him, told him about a situation. He said, I'll pray for you. By the way, he prays for my wife. He and his staff pray for my wife every day. He tells me every time I see him, we're still praying for your wife. But I'll never forget, his next paper came out, his CLA paper, and there was the name of our church. And I mean, it was real. Wow. I don't want to be in his paper. I'm serious. Whew. Pray one for another. Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Christian, Satan has desired to have you, but I prayed for you. I like something our staff does in the morning staff devotions. Pretty much every day we name every student's name before God. Why? Because, young person, Satan hath desired to have you. That's why we pray for you. You say, well, I'm already saved. He can't have me. Oh, but he can do everything he can to ruin your life. He He's desired to have you. That's why we run buses. That's why we have master clubs. That's why we have our Christian school. Suffering. There's some folks in this room hurting right now. I'm amazed. I told our widows, I don't know how you go through what you go through. We need to pray for each other because there's suffering. There's some folks in this room suffering for right. They're doing right. Are you listening? They're doing right. We have some folks that are very similar to Job. They're doing right. They're suffering. When's the last time you got out your church directory and you prayed for those folks that are there? Will it take guards breaking into our service and disrupting our service because the preacher preached a message against abortion? Is that what it will take? Will you have to see some parents of our young people drug off to jail because they disciplined their children like God told them to? Is that what it'll take? Will it take them padlocking the doors of our church because we took a stand and our stand, they called it hate speech and it was just preaching the Bible? Is that what it's going to take? Suffering. We've got to stand the test. Amen. Just remember this. In all suffering, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. It always is sufficient. I counseled somebody just recently and said, listen, God promises you, you will not be tempted above that you're able. Right. Yeah, but I can't take it. I said, that is not true. If you were in it, you can take it. The thing you're not in is what you couldn't take. Now you just go through it and let God be precious to you in that valley. You know, Jesus is coming. Times before he comes, it may not be too good. It may be kind of scary. But I believe there's some great, great things. Number one, know for sure you're saved. Number two, it's a time to serve him. Don't quit serving God. Number three, it's a time to stand. Folks, make your stand. Let it be known. Don't be afraid. Don't feel pressure because your stand may not be politically correct. It's a time to be a soul winner. Hey, time to start telling folks about Jesus. It's a time for suffering. And certainly, there are those that are already suffering. A time of suffering. But a time where we can have the victory, because we are the victors. I read the end of the book. You've read the end of the book. We win. Praise the Lord. We win. If the rapture takes place today, praise the Lord. If it takes place a year from now, hallelujah. If it doesn't take place for another 100 years, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do tonight? Just a few minutes, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Are you right with God to take the Lord's Supper? Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The time of the end, it may not be soon, but it will be someday. How's your relationship with the Lord? Do you know you're saved? I mean, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? You can know it. No doubt about that. You can know it. How many would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. That's your testimony. I know I'm saved. Thank you. God bless you. I'm not trying to plant doubt in anybody's mind, but tonight, you'd be honest. You'd say, preacher, I just don't know. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that, raise your hand. Pray for me. God bless you. Is there someone else? Say, pray for me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never done that before. Pray for me. Anyone? How many would say, preacher, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I know that. But God has spoken to my heart about something in my life. Please pray for me tonight. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we're not going to be caught off guard because we have the Word of God. And we know that there are things we should be doing no matter what is going on around us. Help us to stick to it. Help us to know we're saved. Help us to serve you. Help us to stand for you. Help us to be soul winners. And help us, Father, as we suffer, to come forth as gold. I pray you bless the invitation in Jesus' name.